What do you want to talk about? Welcome to Life Matters with host Kim Alberts. This is the place to be for discussion, expression, and life matters. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy some straight talk and fun. Here's Kim Alberts.
Hey, welcome everybody. I want to welcome you to this week's Life Matters. As a private counselor, one of the issues that people come to see me with all the time is relationships. Today we're going to talk about one part of the relationship issues. We could talk about relationships for a week, I think, and never cover it. But today we're going to talk about just a couple little areas of relationships and how some of those things are changing because, you know, our world is changing. And that affects our relationships and the way things happen in our world today, too. And I'm going to be adding a couple new features to the show. So we'll see how you like those as well. I think when we talk about relationships, first off, most people think about marriages and as being one of the primary relationships, and that's certainly true. When we look at that, right now the divorce rate is sitting, it's actually down a little bit, which is surprising. And what researchers say is that during economic downturns, there are less divorces. People tend to hang in there together and try and make it work, partially because they don't have the money to try and get through a divorce. So they hang in together. And in more stable economic times is when there are more divorces. But right now the divorce rate is sitting at between 38% and 40%. And the National Center for Health Statistics says that 19% of first marriages end in divorce after 5 years. And 25% of first marriages end after 10 years. Five of the top marriage complaints are that number one is money. And money is kind of all over the board. There's a lot of areas that money encompasses. It can be anything from one person is spending too much to one person is controlling too much. Money really boils down, though, it's about control. It's really not the money itself. It's about control. The second top marriage problem is intimacy or lack of intimacy. People not sharing enough, people not being close enough. Third issue is communication. The fourth issue is friends and in-laws. So either spending too much time with the friends or not spending enough time with the spouse is generally the problem, and then the family and the in-laws are meddling, according to one of the people in the marriage. And then the number five problem is the children, and generally that amounts to how we are parenting the children and what one person believes versus the other person. And a lot of this all boils down to the fact that before they got married, there really wasn't any communication done on how any of these things were going to be handled, and no discussion happened about what each person's individual beliefs were about what should happen and how these things should be done. People just sort of fell into the marriage, and then after it happened, they decided that their views on all these issues were very different. And it created a lot of conflict between them. So that communication really has to happen before people get married so these things can all be straightened out and there can be some general agreement before this ever before the wedding ever happens. According to the Knot magazine and website, a wedding in New York costs $65,800. I mean, like, to me, that's a house, you know, it's not a wedding. But, and in Chicago, an average wedding is going to cost $53,000. Still, to me, that's a house. But they say that one in five couples are going to spend more than $30,000 to get married. The cheapest weddings happen in West Virginia, and they're about $14,000. 11% of the bride and groom spend more than $40,000 to get married. And this takes care of the venue and the dress, photographer, the cake and the musicians, you know, everything that somebody needs to get married. I guess I just can't imagine spending more than $40,000 to get married and not discussing all of these things that may go into a life, because that's really what the wedding is supposed to be about, is, you know, joining together and making up a new life for this couple. Today's average bride is 29, so people are waiting longer to get married, but they're not discussing anything that's going to help them. Now, when we look at the average wedding being around $30,000, the average divorce is going to cost $15,000 or more. So about half the cost of the wedding is going to go towards the divorce. Attorneys' hourly fees are anywhere from $100 to $500 an hour. And about 1 million Americans are getting divorced per year. So I guess if you want to be a lawyer, I'd go for matrimonial law, because it's a $28 billion industry in the U.S. So we are spending a whole lot of money getting married and getting divorced. It's a booming industry, is the way it looks. It's a whole lot of money on those two areas. And all because of not communicating what's going on ahead of time. Cohabitation, where people are just living together, that has increased 100% in 7 years. And contrary to what people have always believed, there is no change in divorce rate, whether you have lived together before or whether you just get married having never lived together. One of the things that really has changed is the number of multi-generational families. It's up 60%. This is the greatest since World War II. Right now, we have 4 million multi-generational families living together in the United States. And this is due in a large part because of college students returning home and living with their parents again because, one, they're not able to find employment, or they're not able to find employment that will sustain them in a living where they're able to live independently, and two, it's because student debt is larger than $25,000 for most college students when they leave college. So they're really not able to be independent as quickly as what most parents did. This really creates a huge change for families. You know, I think the joke and the, you know, it used to be, can't wait to get the kid, you know, to college because we're going to turn their room into, you know, the den or the sewing room, or, you know, something wonderful is going to happen with that room and the parents are finally going to have the house to themselves. And that's not happening anymore, because it's pretty well known that we're needing to keep that space for one or more children who haven't left the house. And this is really creating a change within family power structures. So this, and again, just changes the whole relationship within the family. And that's one of the things that we come back, we're going to be looking at and talking about. We're going to be taking a break right now. And if you've ever wanted to contact me, if you've ever thought maybe you've needed some counseling, or if you've ever just wanted to talk about an issue and you really don't know how to do it, one of the things that you're going to be, that you can do this by is go to Gmail, and you can contact me by kkalberts, A-L-B-E-R-T-S, 7@gmail.com. And you can send me questions, comments, talk about doing counseling by Skype, anything like that. And I'll be able to get in touch with you through that. You've gone to the Associating Counseling website. You've been able to take a look at any of the counselors we have. And if you're interested in doing counseling with any of our counselors, we'll be able to talk to you about that then. All right, looks like we need to take a break now, and so we'll be right back and continue talking about changes in the power structure.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Racism, healing, oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Want the best life has to offer for you, your family, and friends? There are a number of community-based programs and resources available to individuals for low cost or no cost. No need surfing the net or spending hours on the phone. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with hosts Melissa Jenkins-Simon and Diane Stafford and get the tools to success. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Hey, welcome back. One of the things that has to be discussed if an adult child is moving back into the parental home is exactly how they are being viewed by the parents, if they're being viewed as a complete adult who is expected to take on some financial role and financial obligations within the family, or are they being viewed more as the child who is going to be expected to resume job responsibilities and other expectations similar to when they were a child around the house? Are they going to be expected to be notifying parents of coming and going and timeline expectations similar to that? The parents also have to voice their feelings about this adult child moving back into the home. is there some anger or resentment about the fact that the parents have to accommodate them with, you know, a loss of space now, maybe some feelings of intrusion. And the parents are also giving up their independence. You know, they've lived alone, basically, and haven't had anybody else in the house with them for a period of years. You know, are they upset about giving up their independence and having another person back in the house with them? Do they feel embarrassed that their child wasn't able to secure adequate employment out of college and is having to come back into the home like this? There has to be a lot of honest communication when this adult moves back into the family home so that there isn't any resentments or any anger that's not being expressed and inadequately dealt with before this person really moves in. You know, money responsibilities has to be brought up. Space boundaries have to be brought up, you know. If they're going to be moving into their old bedroom, you know, who's expected to be caring for that area? Is mom going to be going into the room? You know, is this off limits? What are their expectations about them bringing a member of the opposite sex into the family home? You know, are they going to be viewed as a child again? Or are they being viewed as an adult? What are those kind of expectations? What are the boundaries going to be for the rest of the house as far as having people over and parties and those sort of things? So all of those things have to be discussed so that there's not any unexpected problems and so that everything is really out in the open. One of the things that's happening more and more today also is the need to move a parent into a family home because either the parent is living in a neighborhood that has become a little more dangerous and has started deteriorating, or because the parent cannot afford to maintain their own home, or they may not be able physically or mentally to live in their own home, and they need the safety and security of living in one of their children's homes. Part of the issues that have to be dealt with when you move a parent into your home is, again, a lot of communication about expectations and the issues and how everyone is feeling about this. What is the parent feeling about their need to move in with their child? How do they feel about needing to give up their home? And the children need to understand that when the parent is giving up their home, they're also giving up a lot of the things that help sustain them, all right? And that may be something like their yard, their garden, the neighbors next door, somewhere where they may have taken a walk. It could be a pet that's not able to come with them. So you have to understand that moving and giving up a home is giving up much more than just a home. They're losing rituals, they're losing their safety, they're losing their feelings of safety and space. There's a lot of their own old life rituals and everything that they did to make themselves feel useful. There's also the feeling that the parent is now taking up something from the child's family, and everyone needs to be involved in that decision. including the children, so that the children aren't feeling like they had to give up something to invite that grandparent in. It needs to be very clear that everyone is welcoming and is happy that this person is here. The older parent has to have a purpose within the family. They have to have a reason to be there and to feel valued. They also should be involved in preparing the home and in helping to prepare their room so that, again, they have some sense of belonging there, and they also feel like that that the family is welcoming them and wants their input and doesn't believe that they have no value and no ability to be involved with them. The family is going to have to discuss what the role is for every family member. You know, are the kids going to need to take some responsibility in helping the grandparents and monitoring the grandparent? You know, what are the fears from every family member about how this family may change because of the addition of having an older family member move in? Are the kids going to have to change activities? Do they have to come home immediately to check on someone? You know, kids have very real fears, and no matter how much they may love a grandparent, they still are very concerned about needing to give up their own life in order to accommodate this. So the family has to talk about what everyone's role is going to be and how this is going to affect them. Older adults have to continue the routines that they had when they were in their own home to avoid any increase in the confusion that they were experiencing. So if it's at all possible, if someone can be with them in their own home to observe what was going on and try and continue those same types of routines, that would help them out as far as decreasing any kind of confusion. And it's important to start a family routine with them as soon as possible so that they are included in family meal prep, eating with the family, being involved in, you know, the family evening activities as soon as possible so that they can become and start to feel included in the family as soon as possible. It's also important that you look around your house and see the areas that aren't safe for an older person. What areas might cause problems? What's going to have to change? You know, is the area that you had planned on them being in realistic for them? You know, are they going to be able to manage the couple steps up and down every day or throw rugs in the way? Are there areas that there's a little bit of darkness causes shadows that can confuse them? You know, you have to take a good look at your home to see, is this realistic and is this person going to manage here okay? And you also have to have fun with this person. This is a great time for your family to grow and to form a lot of memories now that this grandparent is living with you, and for your children to grow and to see that involving this older grandparent in their home is really, it can be a really wonderful time and a time for a lot of closeness and a lot more connectedness and to learn a lot more family history. So this really can be a wonderful time. You just need to really help that, you know, really encourage that kind of connection. This may be a time, though, that the older adult may appear to experience a bit of a depression. And that's something you should keep an eye on. Again, having to give up the home that they've been in and all of their possessions, all of their lifelong rituals may be a problem. You need to keep an eye on your family member to make sure that they're taking this change and this move and, you know, becoming accommodated to it, and that they are meeting and joining into your family in the best possible way, that they don't feel this is an intrusion, that they really are blending in with your family, you know, in a very good way. You really need to explain that, you know, you are excited and that you do feel this is for their benefit, but also a joy for your family, that this is something that will be beneficial for everyone. One of the problems in marriages, as I had said, is one of the things not discussed many times is the friends and the family, and they can frequently cause problems. And everyone thinks that their parents are, can be, wonderful, and you know, won't cause problems. But we all know that blending two families, even in something as joyful as a marriage, is not always easy to do, and that it is an entirely new situation, and boundaries frequently are crossed. And at this time, you know, you have to begin to try and set boundaries and explore boundaries to help get everybody through this time. Many people have never had to deal with boundaries and don't know what they are. And so at that time, it's very important that you understand what boundaries are and are able to discuss that with them. Boundaries are something that we use to protect ourselves, to kind of define behaviors. They are guidelines for communication, for acceptable and appropriate behaviors. And they are different regarding, and they're different with different years and different ages and situations. We're going to talk about, we've got a break coming up, I see, so we're going to talk more about them in just a little bit. All right. I have a trivia question for you. All right. Give you the answer when we come back from break. All right, question is, name three of the best places to meet somebody. So if you want to start a new relationship, what's three of the best places to meet people? So you think about that, and if you think you have the answers, you can call in, and we will be taking a break, and when we come back from break, we'll give you the answers. So, we'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with hosts Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Many people are seeking to make a difference in the world, but few actually have the tools to do so. Every week, host Mary Beth Lodge and her guests will have you thinking forward and will give you the tips to keep your life, goals, priorities, and choices on track. The result is an easier, happier, and more inspired life. The name of the program is What Matters. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. What really matters is the positive changes that you'll bring to your life and the world just by listening.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
All right. Okay, today's trivia question. Name three of the best places to meet people. All right. Number one answer they listed was bookstores. Whether it's a local bookstore that has out-of-print books and not your typical big box bookstore, but has odd books and just out of print books and vintage books, something like that, or it can also be the big box bookstores. Second one, all right, and this one I thought was genius. For women, it is a hardware store or one of the big box hardware stores, because there are always guys there, and you can always go and ask them questions about how to do something. I had a friend who did this all the time. It's how she got her house roofed. She went and asked them questions. Worked perfectly for her. If you're a guy, they suggest going to your local grocery store, asking questions about products and produce you don't understand or don't know what it is. They suggest it's a great place to start conversations. Third place is going to your children's sporting events. You will always meet other parents there who also have children. It's a great communication starter, and you will not have to have the conversation about how do they feel about you having children. Fourth place they listed was going to concerts, plays, and wine tastings. Another good place to meet people. All right. So we were talking about boundaries and what a boundary is, and it's simply a way that we protect ourselves, that we kind of set the stage for how we expect to be treated, for what we will allow. It's moral codes, laws, rules, any of those kind of things are a good way to think of a boundary, and it's something that we teach kids. Obviously, boundaries change as kids age and our expectations for them change. You know, it's perfectly acceptable with us if a toddler or a little one comes running up to us and gives us this huge hug. You know, we love that. But as they get older, you know, we teach them that it's more respectful to come up to us and say hello and, you know, to give us a hug but not come running up and maybe knock us over with it. So as age of the child changes, so do the behavioral codes and expectations. And so that's what we teach our children. When we're approaching marriage and starting new relationships, we have to be discussing what are our expectations for this relationship. What is it that we will allow? What is it we'll tolerate? What are the absolute things that we will not accept? What are the things that are complete no-goes for this relationship? If you're going to be approaching marriage and you know that someone having an affair absolutely will end this relationship for you, you need to discuss that up front so that each of you can understand what your moral code is, what's going to be tolerated, and where this relationship stands. How would you tolerate your future mate having a friend of the opposite sex and spending a lot of time with them. Is it okay if they go golfing together, play tennis together, have a lot of lunches together, or talk together all the time? Where do you stand on that kind of behavior? All right. Where do you stand on them spending a lot of time with, say, friends of the same sex? These things all have to be talked about and negotiated. How much and what kind of contact is okay? So all those things have to be negotiated. Also to be negotiated and set up boundary-wise are the relationship with your in-laws. And it may take some time to get that negotiated because their relationship with you is going to be different maybe than what they have established with any of their other in-law children. So this is something that they may need to kind of get used to and set up. And you need to set these relationships up with respect. Your spouse will be loyal to their parents. That's understood. You should never try and get in between your spouse and their parents. Don't ask them to choose between you and their parents. That's not what this is about. This isn't a loyalty test. It's not a judging kind of thing. The issue is this is how we need to set some things up so that we can establish a family and they can be a part of our family, but with some very clear guidelines. When you're talking with your in-laws, try to avoid criticizing them and try not to assume that everything they talk about is an automatic criticism of you. Let them know that your marriage is a priority and that you see your spouse as a huge benefit to you and that you really appreciate your spouse and that you want to do everything you can to value your spouse and to treat them well. Thank them for their concern. For whatever the issue is, thank them that they're concerned and let them know that you too have some concerns about this issue and that you and your spouse are talking about it. That way they understand that this is something that you guys are dealing with and can begin to understand that you're dealing with it and that they aren't you're not asking for their input, but you are dealing with it. Let them know that you guys will be in charge of your marital issues calmly. You don't need to yell and get, you know, obnoxious. You just need to tell them, we are dealing with our marital problems ourselves. And then change the subject, all right? Calmly and with respect. You and your spouse should also set up a code word so that if it's time for you to end a visit, you guys can just kind of use the code word and end the visit without having to get into a long discussion about it. You need to understand that your in-laws love your spouse probably as much as you do. And they want only for the best for them. You guys have a very mutual interest, and you need to try and respect that and understand that, no matter how difficult that may be at times. You and your spouse may need to sit down and develop boundaries. What times is it okay with the two of you that your in-laws visit? How often? And then you need to communicate them clearly to your in-laws. And you may have the same issues with your own parents that you may need to convey. This doesn't apply just to in-laws. But these are some keys to getting along with them and to letting them know that you want to include them. You're not attempting to cut them out completely. You do want them to be in your lives, and you do want to get along with them. communication is the key to all of this. And we need to remember that communication includes more than just the words that we say. You know, there's a lot involved. It's also involved in what we say and the way we say it as well. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be dealing with another new feature of the show. We're going to be taking a look at the letter for today. And don't forget that I am on Facebook and Twitter, so you can go to those and like them, take a look at those, and also take a look at Associated Counseling's pages on Facebook. All right, we will be back in about 2 minutes, so make sure you come right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
We all want to be happy, but consider that conventional thinking is what got us where we are now. The good news is there's so much more to know that can give us a new and higher perspective. Tune in to A New View of Life with host Kathy Kirk as we unlock the conversational gridlock in America by exploring new ideas and new information on every aspect of life which is needed to move us not just forward, but upward. A New View of Life airs live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ever wondered what private investigators really do and how they go about solving cases? Each week, PIs Declassified gives a glimpse into this little-known world. Join your host, Francie Kaler, a noted private investigator, in conversations with detectives and experts in the field. False confessions, forensic evidence, finding missing persons, exposing fraud, exonerating the innocent. All areas that Francie and her guests will cover. And have they got stories to tell? Tune in and call in to the live show Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
All right, welcome back. We need to remember that communication is not just what we say. It also involves all of the nonverbal stuff, all right, our body position, our facial expressions, the tone of our voice, the way we move. So all of those things, the way we say something and the way we're moving has to match what we just said. And many times our message is really screwed up because none of those things didn't match. Communication has to involve somebody listening. It doesn't matter if you just delivered the message louder than the other person if two people are screaming at the same time. Somebody has to be listening for true communication to happen. And these days, sometimes it seems like everybody is talking and no one's listening. I was recently out to dinner, and at the table next to me, it was a table for eight, all eight people were yelling at the same time. I didn't know how anyone could be understanding what anybody said because they were constantly all talking and yelling at the same time. Part of the difference in the way that men and women communicate is that is in the nonverbals. If you observe a group of guys, all right, the guys are going to sit and they're going to be sitting kind of in a line or in a half circle. There's not going to be very much contact between them. There's not going to be much eye contact. There's not going to be much interaction between them. But when you ask them, they're all having a great time. When you're with females, watch their eyes. All right? They're in a circle. There can be very little verbal interaction going on, but there is a huge amount of body language going on. All right? They are all closed in, close together. They are watching the person who's talking. Their eyes are all going back and forth to one another. All right? There's a lot of communication happening within that group, even though one person is talking. A lot of times, every other woman in that group knows exactly what the other person is thinking just by the way their eyes are going and moving around. All right? And only one person was speaking. That there's a huge difference in the way men and women communicate nonverbally. When men communicate, it is very purpose-driven. All right, they have. It's usually a problem-solving kind of thing. They really don't like a lot of questions. Women communicate to vent. We're not looking for solutions. We're not looking for answers. We just want to vent. And that's one of the problems with men and women. Men tend to start solving the problem pretty quickly if a woman is venting. And the woman many times isn't looking for an answer. She just wants to vent. And a man gets very frustrated because he's trying to fix the problem for you. And if you didn't want the problem fixed, why are you still talking about it? So there's a huge difference, and many times that's a big problem in relationships because the woman feels like all she wants to do is talk to you, and the guys are like, I'm tired of hearing about this. The women also don't understand why the guys won't talk to them about a problem, and the guys feel like there's not really a problem to talk about because they don't have a solution for this problem yet, so there's nothing to talk about. Guys tend to be a bit more withdrawn when there's a problem, and you may start to notice they appear a bit depressed. When women start to feel like there's a problem, they're going to start sharing a lot more. So there's also a difference. If you ask for directions from a guy, it's very factual, okay? You need to go so many miles. You need to go west. You need to turn at this intersection, all right? It's very, very factual. When you get directions from a woman, it's going to be based by landmarks. You need to go down, and when you get to the McDonald's, you need to turn. And then you need to go until you see such and such a school. All right, it's all driven by landmarks. It's the same type of, you're going to get the same place, but it's very different in the way that the directions are given. Guys' brains are geared to do one task at a time, and they're focused on that. Women's brains have, it's been proven that women are multitasking. That's why women get frustrated when guys can't follow the conversations many times. Women throw bits and pieces of several conversations out, and the guys are just confused because what are you talking about? All right, guys are focusing on one conversation. Women remember the details, all right, very relational kind of details, all of the details about where we went, what something looked like, all right? Guys don't remember details like that. Guys' conversations is geared towards competition, a lot of trash talking, all right? Females' conversations are geared towards socialization and cooperation, all right? It's all about best friends. All right, now we are going to look at the letter of the day. All right, this letter starts off, Dear Kim, I've been dating someone for the past 15 months, and I'm really considering getting engaged. My family likes her, she likes them, but there may be a problem because my family is very large. I have 5 or 6 siblings, and we're very involved. I attend all my niece and nephew's sporting events, birthday parties, and we all live close to my parents, so we all have either Sunday dinner or brunch together. She started making comments about a little too much togetherness. I love her, but I'm afraid to bring this up with her. What should I do? Signed, Mike. Dear Mike, you need to bring this issue up quickly before you consider any more of a future with her. The two of you need to have a very honest discussion about what she thinks is a reasonable amount of time together and what you're going to be willing to cut back to. Remember, in a long-term relationship, you're adding an entire new family, hers, and creating a family of your own that you're going to need to juggle so you have time for everybody. Talk this out before you buy a ring.